We now come to our fifth message. Can we have the screen on here? We have begun our study with the promise at the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, the promise of a Messiah to come that would solve the problem of man's sin and depravity. And this solution would come after the dispersion of men to all the nations of the world, whereby God will call one man, Abraham, and he will, through him, make a people. And this was what we saw when Israel went into Egypt, and after came out 430 years later with a multitude after the incubation, we said, in the land of Goshen in Egypt. And we saw how that people were given the law. God provided the constitution for this nation, and God also instituted worship. It was the first time in the history of humankind that God would come and dwell with his people. The building of the tabernacle, the building of the temple in Jerusalem. We saw the glory of God descending for the first time on earth to dwell with men. Well, what is all this? It is a precursor of the coming of the Messiah who will dwell with men when he would come in the flesh in the fullness of time. And so from a man to a people, from a people to a nation, Israel became that nation who will be a witness to all the nations of the world. And we are witnesses through the scripture to this, the Messiah that would come. And so we see how God's plan was for Israel to be established as a nation, as a kingdom amongst all the nations of the world, in order that she may be a witness. But we saw in our last message the failure of Israel. We mentioned the Canaanite factor, how complacency and compromise came into Israel, and how it destroyed the witness that God has for this nation. But God did not abandon the nation of Israel, but it was his plan that out of this nation will come the Messiah. And this is our fifth message. We saw how Israel fell into idolatry after the time of Solomon, when they imbibed the gods of the land. You remember how a temple was built to the Canaanite gods just opposite the temple in Jerusalem, built by Solomon. And idolatry crept into the land, and after more than 200 years, they could not, even with a number of good kings, rid the land of this idolatry. It became a snare. And it is a pertinent lesson for us to learn, for us to realize, for us to know how serious it is. The Canaanite factor we mentioned, how that in failure of Israel to cut off the Canaanites from the time they began the conquest of the land through Joshua to the time when of the time of the judges, which we saw how each one of the tribe failed to do their duty. And the enemy became or rested, as it were, within their homes and created havoc within their homes. And this is a very clear picture of sin, compromise. And we said that it came because of complacency. Israel was at its height during the time of Solomon's reign. They had everything going for them. They need not fail. And yet, how is it that in those times of, we said, wealth and prosperity, they let their guards down. And the enemy came, and the enemy took root in the hearts of the people. And you would see that Israel is going to have to live with the Canaanite problem, right, which we are seeing today. Till the time when Christ, Messiah himself, would reign. It will be a time when the Canaanites shall no more be in the law, in the house of the Lord of hosts. We realize how weak we are, how we fail the Lord to live lives which are pleasing in His sight, how we love the world, would compromise with the world. And this was Israel's history for our learning. They had all the things going for them, and yet they blew it all. They lose it all. And so, you see, from the time when Israel conquered Jerusalem, that was in 1000 BC, the time when Israel took Jerusalem, and Israel and David made Jerusalem the capital city of the land of Israel, 1050 to 930 BC. And we saw how the compromise that took place during the reign of Solomon caused the kingdom to be divided after the death of Solomon. And you would see there is a 208 years when God sent prophet after prophet to ask his people to come back to him. And during those times, because Israel still bear the name of God and God's mercy and his covenant promise was upon their forefathers, God did not destroy them. But in the fullness of their iniquity, judgment came. The Assyrians destroyed the northern kingdom in 722 BC. And by the time 605 BC came, the Babylonians have come, according to the prophecy of God, to take Jerusalem. That begins 70 years of Babylonian captivity. And it was during the reign of Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, in which this captivity began. And we saw during this period of time, Daniel the prophet deported to Babylon, 605 BC, 597, Ezekiel was deported. God gave them to be writing prophets, and so they wrote what God gave to them in prophecy. And in 586 BC, after the siege of Jerusalem by the Babylonian army, Jerusalem was destroyed. And it was only 70 years later that God gave the plan through Cyrus to rebuild the second temple. And they began to return in 536 BC. The first batch of returnees, Zerubbabel and Joshua the high priest, they came back to Israel and then began the rebuilding of the temple. And we saw also the prophets Haggai and Zechariah, whom God raised. We have studied the book of Zechariah in our adult Sunday school, how both prophets were called of God to encourage the discouraged Jews. Right? We saw how in the video they returned to the homeland. It was totally devastated. And I know of someone who said, I was back there in Israel in the 1960s. And it was tough work to rebuild the land again, do all these things, and yet they did. What God did was to use Zechariah and Haggai to encourage the people, to uplift their heart, to build their spiritual life, which, you know, because of idolatry, it has crept into them so deeply that they had difficulty getting rid of the filth in their system. It was so addictive, so deep rooted in them. And so God had to encourage them. God had to nurture them, bring them back again so that they will have that strength to rebuild the second temple. So there was repentance and there was the return. And the second temple was built in 516 BC. Daniel the prophet said, "Know therefore and understand from the commandment, from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The streets shall be built again, the walls, even in troublous times." You see, at that time, just a year before Israel's return, the 69th year before their return to the promised land, Daniel the prophet was asking the Lord, "What is your plan for your people? After 70 years of captivity, there is nothing left in the land. What do you have us to do? What is our future?" And so God told them that He would use His people to return to the land. And after 69 weeks, that is 483 years, the Messiah that was promised to Israel will come. And this is the Lord Jesus Christ. This was God's plan to make for Israel a people, a nation, and out of this nation will come in the flesh the Savior of the world. And the Lord wants us to know, and know it well, because the salvation of plan of God is entrenched in human history. Facts God did all these things. And we have to take hold of these facts so that we may be able to give a good witness, to let others know what God is doing to save us. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. That is the words given to Daniel. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. 70 weeks are determined upon the people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. So what is God doing? God is saying to Israel that after 70 periods of 7 years, 490 years, there will be a restoration of Israel in the land. Messiah will come and Messiah will rule in the land. And this is a picture for us to see. God told Daniel exactly when Christ will come, when Jesus will come upon earth, and when he would be crucified, and when he will be cut off, so that Israel will know and identify this Messiah through the prophecies of Daniel. And so they are, in a sense, we said, without excuse, because God gave to the exact detail the time in which the Messiah would come. And so from the time of the rebuilding of the second temple to the walls of Jerusalem being built by Nehemiah, 483 years, 69 weeks. Now therefore, and I come that now know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, that's the second temple, unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks and 80 days. 7 weeks, 80 is 60, 80 is 20, so 80 is 60. 7 and 2 weeks, so 7 plus 2 is 9, 69 weeks. So from the time when they would build the second temple to the time when Messiah would be cut off, the death of Christ upon the cross, it was prophesied for Israel. So from a promise that God gave, the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent, it will be fulfilled when Christ would come. And after 80 days shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with flood, and unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. So there will be that point of cut off. And then what happened? Well, we said that when God gave this prophecy to Daniel, in the fullness of time, the Messiah came. Galatians 4, verse 4 to 5 tells us, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. So through Christ, we are grafted in to be the people of God. And so we begin when we said, with that promise in the Garden of Eden, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed, that is the Christ, the woman's seed. And it is recorded for us in the Gospel, the first, very first sentence, the very first verse, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So this was the promise that God gave and how it was fulfilled over time. And Jacob begat Joseph, the mother of Mary, of whom, this whom here is in the feminine, Mary, the woman's seed. Christ was born of a virgin, conceived of the Holy Ghost, never before. He is the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. Was born Jesus, who is called the Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David unto the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. So the Jews were given the task to mark the time through their lineage. The pure seed will come. And it's interesting that we saw earlier the curse. Jeconiah, well, he was cursed of God. Because he departed from God. Jeremiah 22, verse 24 to 30, gives to us that curse. And as I live, saith the Lord, though Corneliah, which is the son of Jehoiakim, that's Jehoiachin, king of Judah, were the signet upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee thence. And I will give thee into the hand of them that seek thy life, and into the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and into the hand of the Chaldeans. And I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country where ye were not born, and there shall ye die, but to the land whereunto they desire to return, hither shall they not return. Is this man Jeconiah a despised, broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write ye this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper sitting upon the throne of David, ruling any more in Judah. So because of this curse, you realize that Christ cannot come from the lineage of Joseph. Joseph was traced directly from Jehoiachin. And how do you bypass the curse? Well, that's the story that Matthew pieced together for us, that it will be from the seed of a woman, the line of Mary. And you realize that the line from Joseph was cursed, and therefore it has to come from Mary. And Mary was, if you read Luke chapter 3, he was from the lineage of Nathan, another son of David. So she also was from that lineage of David through Nathan the prophet, traced, you see, in Luke chapter 3, all the way back to Adam. And this will be the Messiah who bypassed the curse of Jehoiachin because of the sins of the kingship. And he will be the Christ that will rule Israel. So this was God's plan. And we saw the 69 weeks to the cutoff of the Messiah. And it's interesting that when the prophecy was given for Messiah to be cut off, Israel will also be cut off. AD 70, Jerusalem was destroyed by the Roman army. And Israel will cease to exist in the land for the next 2,000 years. That is why in 1948, when Israel became a nation again, it is so significant because it is a fulfillment of the prophecy that Christ is going to return soon. And he will rule from Jerusalem. And Jerusalem was pronounced. 1967, you saw in our video how they were able to take the city of Jerusalem. Now it belongs to Israel. Right? And recently, Jerusalem was, in a sense, recognized. Right? By the people of, by the outside world, you remember, the United States, they all began to the embassies began to shift their embassies, right? Yeah. One country after another to Jerusalem, because they know, right, that Jerusalem will be the capital of the world. Messiah will rule from Israel. This is God's plan. But there will be this gap, which we will be speaking about tomorrow, in which Israel will, as it were, be non-existent. Why? Why did God scatter his people? Why was Israel cast out? This is a story that we will grapple with tomorrow. But at the end of the age, after when the fullness of the Gentile, we said, is come, then we would see Israel restored in the land, and Israel will, as a nation, go through a period of great tribulation. At the end of the 7 years, there will be a great battle. The nations of the world will gather themselves together to wipe Israel out of the map. The Battle of Armageddon. This time the whole world's army will be gathered. And we are seeing this gathering momentum before us. How long? We don't know. It's not for us to appoint a date, a time, but the Lord tells us that it is near, and we are to realize, right, that after the tribulation will come the return of Christ. Christ will return to save Israel. Israel would be on the brink of total annihilation. And Christ will return and set up his 1,000-year rule on earth. And then the heaven and earth will be destroyed, and God will recreate for him the new heavens and the new earth and the new Jerusalem. And so in Daniel's prophecy, it is told to us, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the 1 week, he shall cause the sacrifice of the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination, he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, and that determined to be poured out upon the desolate. So what are we talking about? Well, we are saying here that Israel back in the land, right? In our next episode of the video, you would be seeing how the nations or Israel seek peace. Peace between Israel and the nations surrounding it. And there will be that ultimate peace when the false Christ will come. And this false Christ Israel will think that this false Christ that will come, this world dictator, world ruler that will come, is the Messiah, is their Messiah. And they would make a peace treaty with him. And halfway through the 3 years where they had a temporal peace, 3.5 years at the midpoint, then will come the breaking of the peace treaty when Israel will realize that this is the false Christ that they trusted. Remember, the scripture tells them who the Christ is. But why is it that they don't recognize him? Like tomorrow we are going to speak about this. What happened? Why is Israel blinded to all this? And then we see how, you know, before all this will happen, Christ will take his church to glory. The rapture of the church, just before the great tribulation that will take place. And so we are very near. We believe that it is at the doors. And the Lord wants us to realize it. And then will come the fulfillment of the book of Revelation, from Revelation chapter 4 onwards. The seals judgment, the trumpet judgment, the bowl judgment, and culminating in Revelation chapter 19, when Christ will return with his saints and the armies of the world will be destroyed. So this will be the greatest battle, the greatest conflict between God and fallen man, led by Satan. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and unto the end of war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. So there will be this peace treaty that will come, this covenant that was made, that will be made between the false Christ and Israel that is now in the land for 7 years. And in the midst of the week, that is after 3.5 years, he shall cause the sacrifice and oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations, that the book of Thessalonians tells us that there will be a desecration in Israel, and they would see that this is not the Messiah. It's a false Christ that they've made a peace treaty. And he shall make it desolate even until the consummation, that and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. And they will realize that, they will wake up, that there was no true peace for Israel. And during the time when Israel was in captivity, God also gave to Daniel the vision of the human empires that would come, that would culminate in the kingdom of Christ. Christ will have to come and rule on earth for 1,000 years. He will rule from Jerusalem. And here it's given to us, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest, Daniel, the interpretation to Daniel, that the stone, he saw a figure, and how there was a stone that came and destroyed the figure. What was this stone? Well, and break it into pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold. The great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. Then the king of Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshipped Daniel, and commanded that he should offer an oblation and sweet orders unto him. The king answered unto Daniel, of a truth, it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seest thou couldst reveal this secret. That was Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And this was what God said to Daniel. And Daniel, well, was able to interpret because God gave him the answer. Daniel 2. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went into his house and he made the thing known to Hananiah, his friends, Mishael, you remember his three friends who went into the fiery furnace, and Azariah, his companions, and they would desire of the mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. And Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He know what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast made known unto us the king's matter." What was it? Well, he tells us of the transitory nature of human kingdoms and the permanency of Christ's coming kingdom. This was the prophecy that was given to Daniel, that there would be this human empires that would come in human history after, from the time when Israel was in Babylon. You remember the 69th year, this was when the vision was given. So the Babylonians were still the masters, they hold the greatest empire in human history. Then came the chests and the arms of silver, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians, the Iranians. And this is the Iraqis, Babylonians, the kingdom of Greece, the ancient Greece, the belly and the thighs, lakes of iron, kingdom of ancient Rome, the feet and the clay of iron and clay, the kingdom of the restored Rome or the revived Roman Empire. And all this kingdom would be crushed, the king saw a vision, by a stone, the crushing rock, the kingdom of God that will come to rule upon earth. And so we see the kingdoms that came from 612 to 539 BC, the Babylonian Empire. So we are speaking about facts of history. Right? Christ is going to return to rule from Jerusalem. The Medo-Persian Empire, 539 to 331 BC. Right? It was represented as a two-winged lion, as a bear with three ribs in his mouth, ferocious beast, to describe the ferocity, the fierceness of this kingdom. That they would, as it were, so cruel, so terrible. And the kingdom of Greece, Alexander the Great, from 331 to 63 BC, of brass, the belly and the thighs. He's like a leopard, runs very fast with four wings and four heads. And Rome, the Roman Empire, with the iron legs, a fierce beast. And then come the Roman, revived Roman Empire. This is where we are now, awaiting that this false Christ, this false dictator, we remember we said this word, Messiah, is a political title. We are talking about a political title, Messiah, that will rule. It's a political title. And that is why when Jesus came, Christ came, the Jews were expecting that Christ would restore the kingdom, that the Romans would be driven out. But it was not God's plan for Christ's first coming. His first coming was to be the suffering servant that would be cut off. And then there would be that period of time called the church age. And the Lord, we will speak about this church age. Very significant, because salvation will come to the Gentiles because of the falling away of the Jews. And so we see here, from the first fall of Jerusalem in AD 70 to the time of the second fall of Jerusalem to the time of the Great Tribulation to the time of the Gentiles, we said. And we see that Israel has risen again, 14th of May 1948, to the time of Christ. And we are awaiting God's kingdom, Christ's millennial rule upon earth. And this is coming. Could it be in our lifetime? Well, the Lord is saying to us that it is very near. And the Lord wants us to realize that our time on earth need to be greatly made useful for Him, to know the signs of the time. So from the nation will come the Messiah. This is the Christ that will prophesy, the Lamb of God who will take away the sins of the world. Out of this nation will come the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And this is the only true Messiah, the Messiah that was fulfilled, described for us in the four Gospels, and affirmed for us in the words of the apostles, and confirmed by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation. And the Lord wants us to identify this Christ, because there will be many Christs that will come that will deceive even the very elect. And unless we know, we will be deceived. And therefore, we need to know the truth so that we may be given the grace to say, to be His remnant, to be His witnesses to the true Christ. And I believe that this message comes with it a price. A price for all who will be willing to stand with Christ. But you realize that Israel was a target of the greatest attack, because it's a spiritual battle. And let us be prepared for this warfare. And may God be gracious to help us to be spiritually alert, ready. Help us to know. Because if we are asleep, we are not watchful, we are not sober, we'll be consumed, we'll be eaten up, we'll be deceived. Just as Eve and Adam in the Garden of Eden. The serpent will come and the serpent will beguile. And if you don't know the word of God, you are not convicted to the truth, you will be deceived. And the Lord is saying to us how important it is that we know this Messiah, this Christ. And we have endeavored to trace it for you, how it has come through the nation of Israel. And we have traced for you the genealogy so that you would know that this Christ must have a purity of lineage, and that there would be a purity of worship. I remember Jesus said to the woman in Samaria at the well, "He that worship me will worship me in spirit and in truth." By the Holy Spirit's teaching and according to the truth that He, Christ, Jesus, the Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of the Bible, is that Messiah whom we are to worship. And if we believe in Him and in His atoning work upon the cross, that He had died for us, shed His blood for us, and we learn it by faith, by grace, according to scriptures, we shall be saved. And there is no other plan of salvation that God has for mankind. This is the only plan of salvation. And we must know who this Christ is, and that we must come to Him and be washed by the blood that was shed for the remission of our sins. May God be merciful unto us. May we be alerted to the sense of lethargy that has come to this age, where we are, as it were, the Bible described, drunken, as in the days of Lot. Eat, drink, and be merry. Then sudden destruction cometh. May we be warned when we think that Christ will not come. He will come when Israel was at the height of its relevance. That is when they fell. Why did they fall? Because they became complacent. Why did they fall? Because they began to compromise. And this is a lesson that the church has to learn, that we will not be complacent. And we will not compromise, because it is a painful lesson that the people of God in Israel had to learn. And let us learn it well for ourselves. If there's nothing we can take back, let us take back this lesson: complacency and compromise. If we haven't learned it, may we emphasize it again, so that we would realize how that battle is so real for your souls, the souls of your children, the souls of your friends, the souls of your relatives. They are all at stake. And the Lord wants us to vigilantly take hold of the truth and vigilantly and earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, may Thou be gracious to show us the truth and give to Thy people a conviction of the nearness of Thy coming, and how Thou would come as a judge, and all who would pierce Him would wail when He would come. Father, may Thou be gracious to help us to make reconciliation, to accept, to worship the Christ that has come, Jesus of Nazareth. O Lord, may Thou be merciful to help us to proclaim this Christ. And Thou hast given us the facts, the truth out of Thy word concerning the purity of Christ, that He is the Son of God and the Son of Man, the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. Father, may Thou be gracious to bless Thy truth to the conviction of hearts, and that hearts may be consecrated to be heralds of the gospel in this fast closing age of the Gentiles. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.